Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with the Nova Twins. I sit down with Georgia and Amy and we talk about all the records that soundtracked their creative journey this far. And it's an absolutely wonderful chat. Turns out one of them literally is from my hometown. Did not see that coming, so that was quite funny, and we discussed this, obviously. I won't say too much more, because I'll let the ladies tell you all their answers just after my quick thank you. So my thank yous go out to 76, my producer, and to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. If this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track podcast, then please go and have a look in the archives once you finish listening to this episode, and you will find over 150 episodes with some of your favourite bands, musicians, comedians, producers, DJs, actors. Go and have a rummage in the archives, and I'm sure you'll find loads of episodes that are going to tickle your fancy. And if that's not enough, I do also have a Patreon page. You can support the podcast over there, and I put standalone episodes and videos and all sorts of stuff on the Patreon page. So you can find out about all of this at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Let's get back to today's episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Nova Twins. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. .co.uk, official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. Joining me today via the means of Zoom, it's the Nova Twins, George and Amy. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
That sounded like we did hard.
It really did. So yeah, how have you been? How's lockdown been?
It's actually worked out really well because we've just cracked on with writing, just really getting back to basics. And obviously at the beginning we were like, this sucks, we can't tour, or our festivals are cancelled. But once you kind of look past that
and get into your swing,
now we're just like loving it. Yeah, having the time to write and not have to rush like the second album or our second project. So it's been great.
Nice. What about gigging? You're missing it.
Yeah,
like 100%.
It's such a strange feeling not to do that because it's been such a massive part of our whole journey as a band. That's all we wanted to do. We just gig, and to stop was a bit of a head fuck.
Yeah.
Especially when you watch back old clips, and you're just like, how the hell? You just forget about this whole other life that went on. It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, this is only the second time I've recorded this with more than one guest. So this is going to be interesting. I've done my first one last week with three young ladies that were super complimentary of you. It was Dreamwife last week.
Oh, we love Dreamwife.
They said lots of nice things about you. Okay, well, let's kick off the playlist. I want to know what the song is with the greatest ever intro, and I'll go Georgia first.
I chose NERD Antimatter.
Nice.
And this tone, like, I still don't know whether it's a bass or whether it's a synth, but it was just the fattest, like, gnarliest fuzz that I've ever heard. I remember when I first heard it, I was like, shit, like, it was so inspiring. And I feel like that definitely inspired my bass tone because it was so wide and it just really filled the space, but not in like a traditional bass way. It was so like just fuzzy and characteristic, so that really stuck out for me as an intro, and I just loved that whole album growing up.
Nice. Amy?
I chose Prodigy just because it's such an iconic intro. As soon as that comes in, everyone knows what's going down. Everyone knows it's about to kick off. And like, you can play it at a gig, as in a walk-on song or a walk-off song. You get to be in a club listening to it. And it's just such an iconic intro. They nailed it.
They nailed that.
And it's so crazy that, like, I was DJing that out when it come out, which was, what, 94? 495, maybe a little, like, no, actually, maybe 96. It still sounds as fresh as fuck
it's
today.
It's still relevant. It's so relevant. It doesn't.
It will never age.
They got that right, man. Mm.
Absolutely. Well, I want to ask you, as songwriters, like, how you approach an intro, and is it a consideration of yours when you're writing to consider things like radio? And to consider things like the fact that the way that people listen to music now, there's so much stuff that is being thrust upon you. Like, if you're listening on Spotify or YouTube, there's loads of little niggling things on the side of the screen saying, you might like this, listen to this. Do you try and hook them right from the beginning? Or what's your approach to intros when you're songwriting?
I think we've learned a lot from our first album, because we never really thought an intro was, we didn't have it consciously in our mind to do an intro to a song until we were like writing that album. And now this new body of work, I feel like we're more conscious of an intro and like really value the idea of an intro. And it's really fun because you can create this whole, like, you have to capture a whole vibe, and sometimes it can be quite cheeky or quite gnarly in one little snippet. And I feel like it's like the perfect, I just love intros because it's just like, it really does have to hook in someone straight away.
Yeah. And I think we're kind of in this listening culture of, like you said, Spotify, quick 3 seconds, you've got to grab them. But I do think people love good intros still. It just has to be amazing. Sometimes an intro can be the hook. Like, you know that 50 Cent song, Hey Shawty, it's your birthday. Yeah. That's just the intro, but that's the song, that's the part that everybody remembers. So it's so important. Like, you can have one and you don't have to have one. Sometimes you
come straight in with the chorus and that's cool.
But I think it's optional.
I love an intro though, because then when you're in the club, it's like, oh, this tune's coming.
Yeah, it does set you up. But we've definitely, I think even after having this conversation, we might even think, actually, let's write a killer intro. Because you don't often think about it when you songwrite. You just do.
Mm.
It is what you said there about, you know, when you hear an intro in a club, it's great, especially if you're DJing and you look out and then first few little notes and you see everybody like sort of their like heads prick up like little meerkats and they just do that kind of like panicked, like frenzied run to the dance floor.
You've won with a sick intro, that's when you've like, you've done well.
And if it doesn't do that, then drop it.
It's boring.
Okay, track two. Ladies, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you. And I'll start with you this time, Amy.
I'm going to choose Joni Mitchell, Blue. It's quite contrasting, obviously, from our band and our kind of music. But I don't know. It's just there's something in the depths of her kind of like her vocal tone, her style, her runs, the kind of piano that's played on it. It's just such a beautiful song and holds like a lot of meaning, like a personal meaning to me as well, like what I took from it. It's just such a beautiful song and I just fell in love with it. I listened to it so, so, so much. And you just kind of get lost in Joni's voice and her whole kind of stylistic. It's everything. Her world, she really kind of takes you into that place. So that song for me.
Totally unique. But before I get on to yours, Georgia, was did both of you have sort of lots of music on at home growing up? Did, like, parents listen to music, older brothers, sisters?
Yeah, loads of music, but different types of music. You used to like...
Well, my mum only listened to basically people like Whitney and like Tony Braxton and stuff. So I had a lot of the kind of soul singers playing, but... it was just me and my mum, so I didn't really, that's what I listened to when I was really young, but then everything else I had to discover and find myself, and so the rock, the punk, the R&B, the garage, whatever, I just kind of ventured off and figured it out myself.
Okay, and what was your choice?
My choice of song, again, it's like contrasting to our music, but Jasmine Sullivan, In Love With Another Man. And it sounds like I've never experienced this before. No, I've never experienced this before, but I remember listening to it and just like crying. I thought this is like the worst feeling. And her, the way she delivers the vocal is just like, you can literally hear the just turmoil and pain from this situation. It's just awful to be in love with someone and love them so much and then be in love with someone else and then you really don't want to hurt the person that you love and it's just like the worst situation ever. I've never experienced it, luckily, but...
But you imagined it.
I imagined it and I was like, this is terrible. So that really struck to me and like, I just had it on all the time.
What do you think that emotion was?
I think it was just...
It's therapy now, but careful what you say.
Well, actually, I was feeling this at the time. No, I think it was just like... It felt like I've never seen that type of emotion laid out in a song. And I feel like she just captured it so well with the lyrics and her delivery. She's literally like one of my favorite vocalists because the husk in her runs and you really believe everything she says. So I feel like it just really, even if you haven't experienced it, you feel her 100%. And I feel like when someone can achieve that in a song, when you haven't even experienced it, but you're literally with her the whole way, I feel like that's when it's like a really powerful song.
Where was growing up? Where was you born, girls?
Me was Essex.
Oh, whereabouts?
Southbourne or Sit Hospital. So,
was I.
It's so funny, us Essex lot.
Essex people ping up, they're like
gravitate towards each other. It's like, you're from Essex? Yeah, me.
It's a thing, they're like lighting their eyes.
Because that's when you started getting excited about the Prodigy, I thought, yeah, they're from Essex.
But I'm from Essex, but you're not.
I'm from London, like Lewisham. So like South London.
Okay, how did you meet?
No light in his eyes. Like,
I know, everyone's quiet.
Like, not in the club. Yeah, in it.
How did you girls meet?
We met through my brother, actually. Amy went to college with him and then we all started hanging out.
I kind of moved in the house.
Moved in and we just became like family, literally like sisters from like, this was like years ago now. So Yeah, we're just family holidays, yeah. Sharing a room, writing together, shopping together, everything together. So that's how it kind of formed naturally.
Okay, well, we'll pick up on the kind of the formation of the band a little bit later. But for track three, I'm going to sort of keep it back in the sort of more formative years. And the song reminds you of your time at school.
Look what I said. So who's going first?
Up to you.
I'll let you go first.
I picked Flo Rida Low. You know, it was like apple butter cheese. That was literally like our jam at school. Everyone used to like make up the dance routine. We used to do like the little slut drop to the floor. I was like, low, low, low. It was so ridiculous. But like, I just remember everyone loving that song. And I would say Soulja Boy as well. But more, I loved Low, that song. And every time I listen to it, it just brings back memories of just everyone going crazy, like screaming in the classroom when you put on YouTube on like the computer when the teacher's up. And that was the song.
Nice. So did you enjoy school? But I'll ask that to both of you.
Yeah. I mean...
I did, but I was just didn't... I was a bit naughty. So, but I loved school, but I didn't really school. I was just kind of... I loved my friends and I just...
I wasn't like naughty, but I was very just like vacant. Like I would sleep in class and I'd just be very just like too laid back.
You didn't actually want to ever go to school.
I didn't want to go to school. I wasn't like, no, I wasn't enthused with school. Like I had friends and stuff, don't get me wrong, but I just wasn't like excited about school. And I'd always, because I had like bands and stuff, all I thought about was doing music and like the outside life. I felt like I was just like done with school before I even started. I was just a bit bored.
Did you know what you wanted to do then at school?
Yeah, like I was like, probably like too motivated and driven in a way, because like I would be so focused on like, oh, we need to do rehearsal, we need to do this. It was quite like mature, where really I should have probably been going to like house parties and stuff, but I was like, no, we need to do this and like the business side and this.
But it's good that you did, because you know I procrastinated in school, and then my musical journey kind of started like after, do you know what I mean? But I was just terrible. I could have learned so much more.
No, but then you have,
but then you can't, you have, you content find yourself.
And you like have crazy memories and stuff. I feel like I'm probably gonna have like midlife crisis and go on like crazy benders.
I think you've had your fair share.
I've had a taste.
Oh, really?
Probably
a bit more taste, I'd say.
So we use confidence kids. Were you confident kids?
I think I've worn my confidence on the outside, but there was other things like your kind of typical teenage insecurities, or like beyond that, like growing up in Essex, it was like a predominantly white area. So I had my things where I was like, oh, my hair's different, or I'm a bit different and I'll try to fit in. And that was always problematic. But I think I was confident in terms of I wore it.
Yeah.
People might have perceived me as that, but I was loud, but actually like... there was other stuff going on.
Whereabouts in Essex, can I ask?
Well, originally it was Corrinham, but then I went to like Grays.
That's where I live.
No, Grays.
I'm sitting here right now.
Whereabouts? Oh my God.
Well, I mean, we should say that, you know, you said it is predominantly white, and that's so true. You know, and Grays was. And has, you know, been a predominantly, you know, BNP voted in area in Grays. It's a pretty fucked up place.
Yeah.
So like that probably wasn't the easiest place to.
No, it was a bit problematic in terms of, like, I had really like great friends, but you know there was obviously insecurities, and I had to be that kind of loud, kind of strong. Young girl, because I had to stick up for myself a lot, otherwise I would get ag, and I had to make people, you know, understand that that's not going to kind of penetrate me in that kind of way or hurt me. So I was very kind of a bit, had to be extra tough,
guarded
a bit. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask. Oh, sorry, have you said your school song yet? You haven't, have you?
No, I haven't.
So I've got a friend, and her mum used to play all these cool, like, old school garage tapes, and we would literally like listen to them like so much. And I just remember listening to like 702, you know what you do, give me a love, and you like the remix, the garage remix. We'd have such a garage phase because like her mum was quite young, so she'd be like, you should listen to this. And we'd all be partying, be like, yeah, we're so cool listening to like old school garage. So yeah, I'll say like 702 reminds me of my...
So before we get on to the next track, when did kind of guitars and the kind of rock influence, because a lot of the stuff that you've spoke about all sounds sort of very sort of urban based music, like when did the kind of, you know, the more sort of like rock and alternative kind of stuff start to sort of filter through?
I think
I went to college,
when you went to college, you had
so when I was 16 I got into like actual like kind of like New York Dolls, MC5, like key bands. I was looking into like Deep Purple and things like that. And I kind of discovered, because I went to a college in London, which is a music school. I kind of just opened up to like live music, and I wasn't playing at the time, but I was then in bands kind of thing, just as a singer. And yeah, and that's where I discovered like rock music and different types of music that I kind of fell in love with.
Because me, like, I think I discovered it by just playing it. And like, I think the heaviest band that I loved growing up was NERD, and it wasn't like I had a massive like rock phase or anything. It was based on like hip-hop music and electronic music. So I think I came from it from a different angle, and I think that's probably why the sound of the bass sounds like the way it does, because I didn't really have that kind of influence of rock. So yeah, I think it was just like playing it.
But Pharrell was, you know, especially around the time of NERD, was just messing with genres constantly. Exactly. Wasn't he?
And that's what I found so exciting, not like the traditional rock in a sense, but mixing like hip-hop beats with like guitar sounds and then samples. So, yeah.
Track 4, first song you remember buying from a record shop. I'm saying record shop. I mean, you're talking about parents that were playing your garage, so I'm feeling really old doing this anyway, because like... I'm 47, so record shops, were they still going?
Mine was a CD and a Walkman.
CD shop, yeah.
And the Walkman, the oldest size. do you want to go first?
Mine was Spice Girls. Yep, that was my first CD. I just remember... yeah, I just loved them. I was a kid, and I was just like, "These are really fun."
and with retrospect and nostalgia, like, what's your sort of thoughts? You know, if you was to stick down and listen to that now, and what are your sort of, how do you sort of view what they done as, you know, as five women in music as well? Like, what's your kind of sort of stance on what they've done?
The music, obviously, not great, but. What they represented in terms of like for a young girl seeing five fierce, kind of outspoken, they all had different characters. It was really relatable, and it was like you didn't have to be, there was like a person for everyone, do you know what I mean? And it was all accepted and like okay, and which I think was actually quite important to see, because then suddenly it was like they kind of put in girl power, you know. So as a young girl, instead of thinking we have to be polite and nice, you suddenly got Spice Girls who really like, yeah, we don't care, and girl power. And then you suddenly, you know, it gave us a sense of kind of strength and like authority, and you know, and I think that's important. So I don't know how it would work now, because we obviously have that so much more now, but it was so relevant and important for the time, and definitely I would say was helpful to me.
Okay, and what was your song choice?
Mine was Mariah Carey's live album, and she had like songs like Vision of Love, Emotions, and I loved this album. It was literally, I don't know where she recorded it, but it was her live show.
Was that the one with Without You on it?
I think so. It was a complete, I think it was like 1997 live album. So good, and I just was obsessed with it, and I loved Mariah Carey I still love her now for so long. And I used to try and sing like Mariah Carey and like scream down the house. When I was younger, my parents were like, so annoyed. I'm like trying to wolf whistle. And yeah, I just remember just being in the car with the Walkman, just always listening to that album. Yeah, it's just even like I love all the songs now. She's incredible.
And so as independent artists, what are your views now on record shops?
As an actual, like when vinyl. I say record, we're talking like vinyl.
I guess so. Yeah, you know, I'm not talking sort of HMVs, like some of the sort of small, like your Rough Trades and things like that, that are constantly sort of championing new and exciting bands.
Oh, I think they're incredibly important, and what I love that's happening now is that there's more demand on vinyl. So a lot of these places are able to, they're still going, do you know what I mean? Like you can find like secret little shops and gems around the place. And there is a demand for it. And you can see that people actually want physical because it was taken away from us. But people, there's still a demand for
it. Keep the art alive.
And yeah, and I think it's just so important because you have the artwork that's supporting it. It's actual, the physical copy. And you do discover just like cool bands. And it's always that kind of special moment when you kind of see your record in only a couple of them somewhere, but it's always like, wow, you know, we made the record shop. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think it is really important we can invest and keep it alive.
And so talking about albums and the kind of idea of like artwork and things like that and something sort of tangible, like when you put your album together, do you because so many artists now are kind of have that thing like, well, you know, we know that there's the three singles on this album that everybody's going to go on iTunes and cherry pick. Do you still write your albums as like as a body of work? Like, do you sort of like spend a lot of time working at the track listing, where it's going to go where, and do you, you know, is there a lot of emphasis on like how the album as a piece of art flows?
I think that what we did spend quite a bit of time at the end. We changed the track listing like so much at the end and everyone's like, just pick in order. But in terms of like picking singles for the thing, I think we didn't write the album like that. I think we just wrote like songs. I don't think we ever wrote for filler, and we wouldn't ever put like the idea of a filler song on. We only put like what we thought was a banger.
Yeah.
That sounds like really like.
No, but to us.
But to us, like we would never just be like, oh, well, we need to make up the 10 tracks. So let's just put on this last idea and make it work. We'd never do that. It would be like the worst ever.
But we didn't really go for like a. Because we've only had, obviously, we've had like two EPs and one album, which we released this year. And it wasn't like a concept album in terms of when we were writing the songs, but they all had a feel for the time because we wrote them in mind of thinking, okay, we're going to write the album now, start writing the song. So whatever was relevant to us at the time and the title of the album, it all went into our world and it was our debut. So it wasn't a concept as such, like this is about this painter who did this.
Of course, but
the concept in terms of it was our concept and our introduction to the world, I guess.
And who are the girls? It's just like, it's a voice for so many women like us who are on the scene, but people are just overlooking them. I feel like even through this Black Lives Matter movement, it's opened the doors and opened people's eyes to this like Black alternative scene. And it's just been amazing that all these bands are kind of getting filtered to the top when really like it was so hard to get on playlists and stuff just because of how we look. People were just so confused, like, oh, they should be R&B, but they play heavy music. So I think this movement's been great for that.
Hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. Track 5, the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing. I mean, you're still brand new. You're still clubbing, right?
We picked the same song. We got the same tune. It's Rihanna, Pour It Up.
Nice.
We had
a moment.
We had moments of that tune.
It was our phase, weren't we?
We just, every time it was about to go out, yeah. Or like,
the thing is, we were like clubbing. No, but it was like we drove down to Hastings, and that's where we had like many crazy nights there. And we always put on this Rihanna tune, Pour It Up, and we'd just be like, yeah, we're going to go out.
We're just like, pour it up.
Yeah, when we got to the other side, we had our tequila, or it might be rum at the time.
Rum. Now we're on the tequila.
Now we're on tequila, but we're just like, yeah, pour it up. And we used to harmonise in the car. And like,
oh, my God, yeah.
It was a moment, and that was our, like, gearing up to go out song.
So when you do go out, what do you want from clubbing?
We don't really club. It's more like house parties. Club, because I feel like, I don't know, it's expensive. And we do sometimes a bit, but not like...
You've got a lot in common with Dreamwife, I tell you. That was their exact answer as well. They were like, yeah, we just go house parties.
It's because, like, when you're on tour and you don't get to see people, when you go to a club, you can't chat. And you can't catch up. And what's really nice is about like, house parties, like you kind of have all your favourite people on the one roof, generally, and you just get to kind of dip in.
And there's little pockets of places, chill on the sofa, chill in the garden, chill in the kitchen. It's way better. We used to do it where I used to stay. So, like, if I got, like, too wrecked, I'd go have a, like, little half an hour nap, come back. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Literally, when we brought you back to life.
I know, like, the revival. People used to, like, jumping on my bed, like, do it.
Wake up again. It's so much fun.
It was, I missed that place.
Okay, well, for track 6, I'm going to ask you to tell me a favourite song from your home county.
See, I didn't have one for this.
What, not a Garage Essex song?
That's not many people are from. My thing was Russell Brand out of We're getting Sarah Marshall.
Nice.
And that's almost a into you.
So weird. I do love that film.
Are you having that? You're gonna go for Russell Brand. Amazing.
Sarah Marshall.
Is he from where you're from?
Yeah, he's from Grays.
Oh, that's verified.
So that's what I'm saying, he's from Grays, and So Into You is a legit song.
Brilliant.
I picked Disney Rascal, I Love You. I feel like it just sounds like the most London song ever. Everything about it just sounds like...
That's such a banging song.
Yeah.
And it's a banger. When that comes on in the club, that is a banger. Mm.
Okay.
I got the game.
Mm.
Well, for your last track, you get to play DJ. So you can turn people onto something that hopefully they've not heard before. And you can influence them. So let's see what you got.
Yeah, I just said Bieber 333, Burn It. They're just a great band.
on stage, their ethos, their whole message, and their energy, no one can match. Like, if you go and see a live show, it's incredible.
Oh, they're insane. Like,
A free piece on stage. And yeah, so I would definitely recommend for 2021. Hopefully, if the venue's open, go and check it out and see the song Burn It live. But obviously, DJ as well, if you want to party.
I chose Princess Nokia, I Like Him. Just because I heard this song about 3 days ago and I've just been playing it nonstop ever since. And it's just like one of those badass woman empowerment songs where it's like, you know, it's playing on the stereotype of like people think you're a slut or whatever, but it's like banishing those stereotypes, being like, I'm holding the power of my own sexuality and right. And it's just like such a badass tune. I just love it.
Wonderful. Well, what we do is we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast as well. So all of the songs that we spoke about, we'll put on a playlist so people
can
So we'll have some Mariah Carey on there and FIFA free. So as we find ourselves coming out of lockdown, what's on the agenda?
Hopefully touring
like in 21 for sure, just writing loads,
more music,
writing,
hopefully gigging,
recording,
just
touring,
hopefully a new venture. And
we've been working on some stuff behind the scenes, but we can't announce it yet, but there's things coming out that will be exciting.
And so for people that want to find out more about what you're up to, where's the best place for them to go?
Probably Instagram, Spotify. Check out our music videos. Check out Taxi.
There's like Nova Twins music on like socials and Spotify. Just Nova Twins.
Yeah.
Well, if you're happy for me to do it when this comes out, I'll tag you in everything so people can go and find you if they haven't already done so.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Lovely. Girls, thanks so much for today. It's been really nice chatting to you.
Thank you. It's been amazing.
Maybe when I'm in Grays, I might walk by you.
Let's do it. All right. Thanks loads, girls.
Thanks.
There you go. Thank you ever so much for listening. Thank you hugely to the Nova Twins for that. It was really nice to have a catch-up. Bizarre when someone says they're from this little town in Essex that I happen to have been sitting in recording that episode. That was quite strange, but brilliant. Like I said at the beginning, if you enjoyed this episode, please go and explore the archives of Off the Beaten Track. You will find episodes by all of your favourite musicians, actors, comedians, producers, DJs, etc. And like I said as well, there is a Patreon page where you can support the podcast and get access to exclusive episodes and videos over there as well. That's me done. I will see you next time. Remember, you can find out about everything you need to know about this podcast at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. See you next time. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Ain't it?
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.